So like a balance, there's inspiration, there's pressure, and Prabhupada had this super ambitious vision that he wanted everything to happen yesterday. That was that point on communication. I spoke about this topic about who's the temple for, but that's not clear because the temple is for everyone, but who is actually meant to be a full-time devotee, temple resident, and devotees who are really full-time representatives of the institution. And we know that there's standards. For instance, if someone says, I'm only going to follow two principles, you say, well, that's fine, but you can't move in here. Neither can you necessarily go out and represent the society, be a preacher, or you have to have all four principles, you have to chant 16 rounds. And so it needs to be clear that, what we call full-time devotees, they have to accept a standard, which is quite a clear standard, shouldn't be very fuzzy. But there's two phases in life that really make things fuzzy in devotees' minds. One is when they get married, and that's fuzzy. And then the other is when they have children, and that becomes fuzzy-wuzzy. You have to be really very clear, very well-trained, and very clear in your mind, because the nature or the tendency of material energy becomes very, you're really closely associating with material energy in those circumstances. So the tendency is then that attachments come out. That's what it's all about, what it's about. And that then we want to actually, we want sort of the best of both worlds. I want to be full-time, and yet I want my needs to be accommodated. So I have to be really very clear about what it is that needs can be accommodated for full-time devotees by a spiritual institution. Because our spiritual institution is pretty sort of dynamic in the sense that, you go to your mat, you go to most spiritual institutions, they just don't, even to this very day, the Catholic Church, you're a celibate priest. There's no room for householders to be active, to be priests. Anglican Church and so on, they become more progressive. You can be a homosexual as well, and that's all right. But, Catholic Church is just, you're a celibate monk, although they know that, I remember even back, I was like way, way back, 1973, I'm traveling to Sankatan and went from Montreal, and we stayed in this monastery, and they gave us rooms because they had 5 rooms per monk, and Quebec was pretty still religious. They're very pious, they're very Catholic, but we were in a room, and we went in there, and there were these pinup pictures everywhere. And obviously it wasn't the visitors who put them up, it was the priests. So even the Catholic Church knows that, the priests aren't all celibates, and they've constantly got different types of scandals going on, but it's the principle. What they're going to do is something else, but anyway, it's the principle. So, but for us, we accommodate grihasthas, and that's like a real sort of mind-blowing concept to many people who are sort of used to traditional religious values. How do householders, if they're in Congress, as we do, how do householders, how can married people be monks? It's like a contradiction in terms. In Hungary, we have this word, szerzetes, and which means a monk. And when we tell them, when I point to, when I say I'm a szerzetes, that's fine. I'm a monk, okay, that makes sense. But when I tell them, here's this man and wife, and here's their kid, and I tell them that they're monks, they can't figure it out, they put it together, doesn't compute, because, you know, monks don't have kids. Well, they don't have wives. They're only just have men. They're not, what, there's women. You don't have women. How do women get to be monks? Maybe they're nuns. That sort of fits in, but then that's as far as it goes. But for Prabhupada, this was his idea. His idea was that, yes, you know, men, women, and if they're willing to live like monks, which means you keep the essence of the thing there, then spread Krishna consciousness like that. Why not? But it means keeping that essence, keeping sort of those values, and that's a real important thing. And then when, and if for some reason it's not possible, if someone, you know, devotees, if grihasthas, or if husband and wife think that they don't want to live, you know, as monks or to that standard, then that's also all right. The mission continues, but they continue as being, as I mentioned yesterday, supporters, or when they have children, and for understandable reasons, they don't think they can continue. But we can't change the standard. It has to stay like that. And if you study folio, it won't be much of a secret what it is that what we already have now is a different animal than what Srila Prabhupada wanted. There's some really far out ideas. You know, that husband and wife should have one child. When the child is 2 years old, the wife should go to Vrindavan with the child, and the husband should just do sankirtan in the West. At age two. Anyway, we saw that there was a lot of advantage taken of Prabhupada's innovative ideas, just like, you know, children send them to Gurukul, and husband and wife continue with service, which is fine if the children in Gurukul are made to feel like, you know, their ashram teachers and their teachers are like their fathers and mothers, and they're given all love and support, just like you do in the traditional Gurukula. Generally, the gurus, you know, in a village, gurus, when children are sent there, they're married. And they're husband and wife, and the wife of the guru, she's like the mother, Guru Patni. So she's like the mother, and the guru's like the father. Unfortunately, anyway, you know, many of our children, most of them, were abused in Gurukula, not treated like mother and father. But anyway, that was Prabhupada's idea. He, and you know, read other comments where he expected his grihasthas to just drop of a hat, move, like sannyasis. Okay, get off the train. It's just the middle of India. You know, some man comes on the train at a train stop. How long does a train stop? You know, he comes in, priest Prabhupada, oh, it'd be really nice to, you know, have a temple over here. Prabhupada says, you know, grihasthas with a little 2-year-old child, get off the train, start a temple. That was it. And it was constantly like that. If you read, I was really amazed when Shruti Kirti Prabhu's diary, you read that? You seen that? What's the difficulty? Prabhupada really liked him, you know. First, Shruti Kirti wanted to get married, and Prabhupada, he got married, and Prabhupada just took him away. And then, after he had a child, and when his baby was 8 months old or something, and Prabhupada just talked him into, it's all right, just come with me. Prabhupada just took him. Now, you do that nowadays, you know, if you're a guru and you end up in jail or something, or at least with a lawsuit against you. But that's what Prabhupada expected. Now that's full. And if you can't do that, that's fine. Then, you know, different way Prabhupada gave Ambarish Prabhu and others, you know, different instructions, and there were, but you know, you have, if you want that right or that recognition, you want to be working full time for the mission, then you have to, it's just like anywhere, go work for some company, then company's got certain ideals, certain concept, and you have to fit into that. You can't expect that, you know, the company's going to be what all the workers want to make it. So we're not a company, we're a spiritual organization, but we are an organization. And we have a certain set of values, and everyone sort of has to fit in that. And then that's why if the guru ends up, you know, beating disciples and abusing his daughters, all in the name of spiritual life, then you can't do that anymore. You can't see what this institution's about. Any points on that? Is that a... And, you know, sometimes we stick into that because we think it's a phobia. We think, oh, if I'm not a full-time devotee, then I'm in Maya. But that's also not true. That's just like saying that all discussion is politics. Not in Maya, but being in Maya means you're not chanting 60 rounds and following the Vedic principles. Then you're definitely in Maya. Well, maybe it's just a matter of serving the institution in another way. This is, you know, this is more natural place for me to be, so it's just like we don't say getting married is not Maya. We just think it's a natural development of Krishna consciousness, and people should practice Krishna consciousness from a position of strength. And just like ashram can use a position of strength, similarly the varna is a position of strength. So if it's not full-time, it's really not fun. Then working, giving part-time service, and donating, whatever. Anything to discuss on that? You're thinking, are you about to say something? Oh. That was the other point. Kaliyuga means age of quarrel, and quarrel usually comes when people don't have lines of communication. Ultimately, the only way they communicate is when they just explode at each other. My experience, disagreement amongst devotees and authority, temple presidents, husband and wife, is that the channels of communication, that there's just this regular thing of really communicating, and communicating isn't just talking at someone, but, you know, it's hearing someone, it's exchanging with a person, it's really, really touching bases with a person, not just saying words, and really sort of owning where they're at, and really revealing. Sometimes devotees, I have that problem a lot with devotees. Devotees come and sit, and they, rather than telling me what's on their mind, they start to actually psychoanalyze themselves, or start giving the solution. In other words, you know, rather than saying, okay, I'm agitated by sex life, they start to get into things. Well, I know that, you know, it's not the right thing, and be disturbed, and it must, my sadhana must really not be really quite right. And what's the problem? Why don't you tell me the solution? Why don't you just tell me what the actual problem is? What is it that's going on? So it's really hard to just come out with it. I know that it's something that I learned. It was in writing. Sometimes I write something because it's in my mind and I just try and get it out real fast. And then later on I read it and I can't make head or tails of what it says, what to speak of. Then I give it to Keshe Bharati Maharaj. And then the editors have this thing, they ask you this very simple thing, what is it that you're trying to say? And then when you just try and say in one sentence what is it you're trying to say, then it becomes very clear. So it's like that. Sometimes devotees, we get so tied up in analyzing everything from so many angles of vision that when you come out and say it, you just get more bewildered. You forget what it is that I'm exactly trying to say. And if you just use this thing, okay, just say in one sentence what you want to say, then it becomes real crystal clear. I'm in Maya. Or, I think that the head pujari was really mean to me the other day, you know, rather than getting into whole analysis of, you know, deity worship and the intricacies and the pressures it puts people under and going through this whole adventure. But what does it all mean? I just say, no, she wasn't nice to me or he wasn't nice to me. So real great communication, but nice communication, because it's not important, not just what it is, but how it comes out. And that sort of lack of communication and communication skills, phenomenal cause of problems. I've just seen marriages just like break up, just because, and you try to sit down and talk, people just can't talk to each other, willing to listen to each other, and it causes such phenomenal problems. Where the actual problem is not substantial, but being able to actually deal with a problem, you know, the mountain out of a molehill. So you've got this little molehill and it just grows and grows and grows and becomes a mountain. And more or less for us, we've got no problems. We have no problems in life. We're feasting. I mean, people, what to speak of, you know, feasting people, most probably a third of this world doesn't even know what eating is, what to speak of feasting. But even wealthy people, you know, it's like an opulence, you know, feasting, we live in comfort, we got 16 houses, we have so much, and like the Prabhupada here says, and we're going back to Godhead. So it's like, you know, it's just a matter of time. Maybe it's 20 years, maybe it's 50 years, but that's where we're going, and we've got no problems, really. All we need to do is we're continuing chanting, serving Prabhupada's mission, and then watch your time to take us back to Godhead. So whatever little things come up are really sort of hiccups, even this with Prabhupada. Okay, he's the one with that. He didn't have to leave. All right, maybe he made mistakes, maybe made offenses to Vaishnava, but if he stayed and continued, anything can be rectified. Now he's on his own, so he's going to have to, you know, do it on his own, but all right, we all make mistakes. But, we just continue, and so a lot of times the issues are really quite minor, but they really sort of bloat and grow up because it's really hard to just come out with it in the right way and really communicate. That's at least one thing that yesterday, I think it was Ramdas, and was saying that, you know, devotees are not. Some devotees are unhappy.
Priyakanda
was saying that, but anyway, so, yeah.
So how do devotees like in a community like this where devotees have noticed that there's some harshness and definitely is, and communication is sometimes very difficult because it sometimes seems so harsh that someone might be written off because they think differently to the way I think. So how do we actually, is there some kind of system within the room for learning communication skills or developing communication so that we can see people are different?
Can you just be just a little more specific now? Because I should talk about TV being harsh? Or?
No. I'm talking about in amongst the devotees sometimes in general. Well, I say sometimes in general, in amongst the devotees in general, sometimes the dealings are extremely harsh, even amongst one another. I'm not talking about more than Prabhupada at all. Yeah.
Well, maybe it's something, yeah, certainly this skills, communication skills that can be learned. But you need to recognize that, you know, you've inherited certain things. You're telling me about how, you know, blah, 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 we used to deal. And it'll take a little while to sort that out. So, you know, devotees who, for instance, like Radhanath Maharaj, whose ethos is, you know, dealing lovingly with devotees, people who grow up around him, just have a different way of dealing naturally. So it'll take time, but it's topic for it's the ghostly discussion, topic for friendly discussion amongst each other. Sometimes, you know, if it's really a habit that some devotees have, then it may be that, you know, with some senior devotees may, you know, sit someone down and then point out that this is a real problem. You've got a problem. You know, we'd like to help you work on that, change that. And sometimes, particularly when we're conditioned to something, it's not immediately that we change, for one. And the other is sometimes we're not aware of it. Anyway, I guess Ahobala is the only person here who really has that much experience would be back in the 80s, even in the mid-80s. I was